Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We're in the series on the Ten Commandments, and we're at number 4 today, the Sabbath. This is the last commandment in the what we call the first table of the law, the commands that relate to honoring the Lord. Number 5 through 10 are how we honor each other. So Exodus chapter 20. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, I pray that all that thrills our soul would be Jesus and no one else and nothing else. Lord, what we're doing here doesn't make much sense unless Jesus Christ is what thrills our soul. Lord, thank you that we can celebrate him as our risen and victorious Savior, the one who intercedes for us, our Savior and our Lord. And we, as we come today, Lord, to your word, we again are needy. We need you to open our eyes and our hearts to see the wonderful things here in your word. Lord, we need you to change us by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that we would be obedient to your word, that we would receive comfort where we need comfort, that we would repent where we need repentance, and that we would obey where we need to obey. Oh, Lord, thank you that we can encounter you today in your word. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you feel like you need a break today? I think many of us would say, yes, I need a break. I need a break from life. You know, not just a vacation. I need a break from life. You have a job that won't let up. Maybe if you checked your email right now, people would be emailing you about stuff at work. If you had your cell phone on, it would be beeping at you, telling you, hey, do this, that, and the other. Maybe you have small children, and they require 24/7 care. You say, I need a break. I need a break right now. And you know that desire for rest, for a break? God has given that to you. That's not unnatural. We're made to rest. And I want to talk today about how that desire for rest, to take a break, to take a vacation, is given by God and is only fulfilled by God. So let's read together Exodus 20. I'm going to read for us verses 8 to 11, which is the fourth command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. This is the longest of the commands, a little bit longer than the second command that we looked at 2 weeks ago. So today, if you have an outline, you can follow along, but I want to talk about the meaning, the original meaning of this commandment, and then talk about how do we as Christians understand this, the Sabbath. Do we keep it or not? And then I want to look at two streams that come from this commandment, a stream of worship and a stream of rest, and how they're both fulfilled in Jesus Christ. So that's what we're going today. So what does this mean? How did Israel understand the Sabbath? It says, remember the Sabbath for the purpose of keeping it set apart to the Lord. So, first, the command is to remember. We need to remember it so that we can keep it holy. Sabbath just means to rest, to cease, to stop. That's all it means, Sabbath. Israel is told to keep special track of the day and keep it set aside for God. This is a day for the Lord. Holy, as you probably know, means to set apart for a special use. So basically what God is telling the Israelites, set apart the seventh day for a special use. Set it apart for me. So do no labor, but set it apart for me. But it's interesting here. He says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. Wait, okay, we're talking about resting from work. First, he tells us that we need to work. We could spend the whole sermon talking about how work is God-ordained. I know some of you may not like your jobs. Work is hard. We live in a sinful world. But God has given us work. It's a good thing to work. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. It's a good thing to work. But after you've done your work for 6 days, God tells the Israelites, rest on the seventh day. And then don't say, hey, kids, can you clean the house and make a meal for me? And say, everyone gets a break. Even the animals get a break. Now, as we look at this command in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the Ten Commandments are repeated. This one's a little bit different. And it says, you know, you once were slaves in Egypt. You know what it means to be enslaved and do labor all the time. So since you know that, give your servants, give everyone a break. Okay? So this command, the Sabbath command, is a break for everyone. So in the society, it would give everyone a break, everyone including the animals. So that's the explanation. Take a break from work and keep a day for God. Now, he gives a reason. Why? Why should they take a break and use a day for God? For God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. If you read in Genesis 2, God created the world in 6 days and then took a break on the seventh. Now you say, well, obviously God didn't get tired from creating the world, because God doesn't get tired. He just spoke it into existence. But God said, I am done. I finished my creation. It's good. So I'm going to stop. So it's a blessed thing. So when Israel stopped from work and set apart a day for the Lord, they were saying, we belong to the Creator God. We belong to the Lord who made the universe. So the reason for taking a break is because Israel belonged to God. The day was for him. So that's the fourth command. Take a break from work. It's a day for the Lord because God took a break when he created the world, and it's a day for him. And as you observe this, it says, we belong to God. Now, we could go on and on about how Israel broke the Sabbath, how they again and again did not keep the Sabbath command. And again, God called them back, keep the Sabbath. But I want to give you a few important pieces about the Sabbath in the Old Testament and how it was kept. So Israel rested on the Sabbath. What was the punishment for working on the Sabbath? Death. That's given in Exodus 31. And then in Numbers 15, a guy's picking up sticks on Saturday, and he dies for that. So this is a day that's holy to the Lord. So when Israel would violate this commandment, they would violate God's holiness. And God says, I am holy. I am a special and set apart God. So when you violate my holiness, there must be a punishment. Also, Israel would hold an assembly, a special day to worship the Lord on the Sabbath. And Israel again and again broke this command to keep the Sabbath. And as the Old Testament progressed into the New Testament, the Jews would understood the Sabbath as a day of rest and of worship. They would take a break from labor, then they would worship the Lord in their synagogues, which is a place of worship for the Jews. And that today they do that too. They take a break from work and they worship on Saturday in their synagogues or temples. Now, it's important as we look at this command. This is a little bit more difficult than some of the other commands. There are two streams or two areas from this command. There's first the stream of rest, and then there's a stream of worship. And we're going to follow both of those streams into the New Testament. This command is not repeated in the New Testament, so it makes it kind of a challenge as we try to understand what God is teaching us through the Sabbath. Are we supposed to rest on Saturday? What day are we supposed to worship God on? Now, Christians have understood the Sabbath differently. There's a small minority of Christians that believe the Sabbath is still in effect on Saturday, and they meet to worship the Lord on Saturday. They're called Seventh-day Adventists. Maybe you know some of them. And so they think the Sabbath is still in effect, and they worship on Saturday. Some others think that the Sabbath is on Sunday, and they take a day of rest and a day of worship on Sunday. Some other Christians just ignore this command completely and say, I can do whatever I want, whatever day I want to. Okay, I don't think that is an option for Christians. What I believe, and I believe what the text is saying, especially as you trace it into the New Testament, and that many Christians have observed throughout the centuries, is that Sunday is a special day for the Lord. It's what we call the Lord's Day. And I want to explain that to you from the New Testament. Do you remember the two streams, the streams of rest and the stream of worship? Both of those flow into the New Testament, and they find their end in Jesus Christ. So I want to talk about Jesus Christ fulfills the Sabbath command. I think that's so very important as we look at the Sabbath. So two streams. First, the stream of rest. Do we stop working completely on a certain day of the week? You're like, I wish. That would be amazing. So first, we look at Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. So by the time that Jesus gets on the scene, the Jewish leaders have made so many rules about how to keep the Sabbath. You would think, this is enough right here in the fourth commandment, okay? Don't stop from your work, don't make other people work. But it wasn't clear enough for them, so they had to make rule after rule about how to keep the Sabbath. So the Sabbath, you can imagine, was like a white picket fence saying, this is a special day for the Lord. Don't violate it. Don't work. It's for God. But the Pharisees said, you know what? So that people don't go over the picket fence, we're going to step back and we're going to make a very tall cement fence with barbed wire and machine guns on it to protect the Sabbath. Okay? And that's what they did. And Jesus and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, have some encounters. And they don't go very well for the Pharisees. So we come to Mark chapter 2. And I can read this section for you. So Jesus and his disciples are walking through a grain field on the Sabbath. And this is what goes down. One Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. Now, this is completely legal. If you're going to go walk through somebody's field, you're allowed to pick as much as you can eat as you walk through. Okay? This is normal occurrence. So they're walking through grain fields, and they would pluck the heads, and they were eating the grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? And Jesus gives a little bit of a lesson for them from the Old Testament, and then he concludes this way. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man, that's Jesus' term for himself, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus says, look, the Sabbath is supposed to be a blessing for people, and you have made it a curse because there's so many rules. By the way, I'm the one in charge of the Sabbath, so you've got to listen to me. Since Jesus is the master and the ruler of the Sabbath, we look to him to define the Sabbath for us. So Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, the ruler, the master. Christ died, and then he rose again on Sunday. He took a break on Saturday, and Sunday he rose from the dead. It's like, okay, we know Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We talk about it, we sing about it in church. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He was dead, and he is alive now. He conquered sin and death by his resurrection. This is a big deal. And by when Jesus died and rose from the grave, he changed things up a little bit. He ushered in a new way of relating to God. No longer were his people under the old covenant. There was no longer earthly priests, animal sacrifices to cover sin, or a system of ceremonial laws. Christ gives a new covenant with new regulations for worship. We go through Christ. Colossians chapter 2, if you want to write this down, Colossians 2, 16 and 17, Paul says this, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink. There's laws in the Old Testament about what you can eat and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath, these Jewish celebrations, and they're observed observation of the Sabbath. Don't let anyone pass judgment on you in regard to these things, the ceremonial regulations from the Old Testament. He says this, these are a shadow. They're a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. He says Christ is the reality, the truth. These things in the Old Testament, these ceremonial regulations, it's a shadow. Christ has showed up and he's the real deal. So don't pass judgment on people who decide to take a day off from work. Or if they are Jewish and they want to celebrate their festivals that they have celebrated growing up. Don't pass judgment on them. So Christ rose from the dead and ushers in a new way of worship. Then rest is an issue of Christian liberty. Okay? Rest is an issue of Christian liberty. In Romans, Paul is writing to a church that's Jewish and Gentile. So you can imagine they have some differences about how they want to worship God. The Jews grew up worshiping God this way, and then Christ comes and changes things up, and the Gentiles who are saved out of their pagan worship are used to worshiping this way. And so Paul is saying, you know what? Maybe some people esteem a certain day better than another day. Don't judge them. And don't judge someone for not esteeming a certain day. Let me read it from you from Romans 14. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. So there was Jews that celebrated the Sabbath who were Christians. So don't pass judgment on them, and don't pass judgment on those people who understand all days to be the same. Verse 10, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. I'm afraid about keeping the Sabbath because someone might judge me for it. Or this or the other. Or that person's doing that thing. Or that person's not doing that thing. God is the judge. God is the judge. He will determine what is between you and God. The rest is an issue of Christian liberty. And then the best part about rest. Rest is found in Christ. And Hebrews 4, Jim read that for us today. And I just want to repeat a couple of those verses. The argument goes like this. God had promised rest for his people, but they didn't receive it because of disobedience. Therefore, there's still rest promised for God's people. So verse 9 of Hebrews 14 says this. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. So in this chapter, there's two kinds of rest. There's the first rest. When we come to Christ, we say, I can't earn my salvation. I'm resting from any effort to earn his favor. It's done. Christ has accomplished it. That's the first kind of rest. So if you believe in Christ, no more striving to earn God's favor. Christ is the one who has earned God's favor for you. That's the first kind of rest. The second kind of rest, the Sabbath rest that is still for God's people, is this: heaven, the real resting place. By faith, we look forward to eternal rest. So the command to cease from labor points to something bigger and deeper than physical rest. It points to a rest that we can only find in Jesus Christ. Rest from trying to earn your salvation and rest in Christ. And if you're resting in Christ for your salvation, look forward to the rest in heaven, the eternal rest, when you get an eternal vacation with Jesus. So the first stream of rest coming from the fourth commandment, it finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. It finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. But there's a second stream coming from the fourth commandment, and that's the one of worship. It's a day holy to the Lord, set apart for him. So how do we understand that? The second stream of worship is fulfilled in Jesus Christ as well. So setting apart ourselves to worship God is fulfilled now in what we call the Lord's Day on Sunday. Christ's resurrection again. It's a big deal. Christ rose from the dead on the first day of the week and turned the old ceremonial law upside down. And all of a sudden, Christians who used to be Jewish, who were worshiping on Sabbath, are now worshiping Christ on Sunday. What could account for this massive change in their tradition? Because Christ rose from the dead. They're not meeting on Saturday, but they're meeting on Sunday. And as we look at the New Testament, the early church met on Sunday. And if you want to write these two references down, Acts 20 and 1 Corinthians 16. In Acts 20, it's a story about the poor boy named Eutychus. Eutychus had worked hard all day on Sunday. And then he went to the church service in the evening. And Paul went. The Apostle Paul was the guest preacher that night. And Paul went on and on and on and on. And Eutychus, having worked very hard all day, fell asleep and fell out of the window and died. But thankfully, he was rose from the dead by Paul, who had miraculous gifts as an apostle. So we see that incident is that in the Roman Empire, there wasn't this weekend thing. There wasn't, I work 5 days and then I have 2 days off. No, that didn't exist in the Roman Empire. If you were a slave, you worked 7 days a week very hard. But the Christians would still meet together early in the morning or late in the evening. And that's dedication, because it was a special day to the Lord and they wanted to worship Him. The resurrection had changed everything. So from the beginning of the church until now, Christians have set aside Sunday to worship together as God's people, celebrating our Savior and His resurrection from the dead. So the stream of worship, it comes to Jesus Christ, and Christ says, worship me, I rose from the dead. And for 2,000 years, Christians have been meeting together on Sunday to worship Jesus Christ. So both streams of rest and worship are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. You're saying, well, that was a long, thing about rest and worship throughout the Scriptures. How do I put this into practice? How am I supposed to understand this today as a believer in Jesus Christ? Some of you may say, I wish the Sabbath was in effect today. And I know back decades ago, there was rules about what could happen on Sunday, and things were closed. No longer. But as we look at Jesus Christ and we look at the Sabbath, I think let's look deeper and see, what is our deepest need? What do we really need? Do we really need a day off? What do we really need? Our deepest need is to rest in and delight in Jesus Christ. That's our biggest need. And that's what the Sabbath points to, setting apart a day for God to worship Him. Our biggest need is not a day off or a vacation or some downtime. What we need as Christians is to rest in God. We need to gather together to remind ourselves that God is God and we are not. That Christ has accomplished our salvation and we can't earn it. And we will never find complete rest here on this earth. But when we gather together, this is a little foretaste of heaven. We're saying, yes, the best is yet to come. And I know some of you have grown up in different ways. Some of you have not grown up in the church. But it's the Sabbath or the Lord's Day is not about what we cannot do. It's about delighting in God. It's about delighting in God. In Isaiah chapter 58, the prophet Isaiah calls God's people back and saying, you're not observing the Sabbath. You're working on the Sabbath. And he calls them back, says, stop working. But he says more than that. He says, call it a delight. Delight in the Lord when you set apart a day for Him. Just don't set apart and stop working, but delight in the Lord. Make it a day that is delightful for you because you delight in the Lord. For us as Christians, the Lord's Day is not a day of I can't do this, that, and the other thing, but one of delighting in the Lord. Now, yes, we will certainly have to give some things up to worship Christ, okay? So each of us will have to determine what are we going to give up so that we can focus on worshiping Jesus Christ. But the focus is this. We're gathering together to worship God. We don't give up things as an end in themselves. Like, I'm holy because I don't do any work on Sunday, or I don't do this thing or the other. No. We give up things so we can worship Christ. And that's the emphasis of the Lord's Day. Delighting in God as the focus of the Lord's Day helps us in two ways. Okay? So the focus is delighting in the Lord and worshiping Him. For those of us who have grown up in the church and who have made it a habit of coming every Sunday, this helps us in this way. God wants more than your physical presence at church. I'm a pastor. I have to be here. I don't have a choice. if I just have a couple sick Sundays, Pastor Mark would wonder what was happening. And for me, I have to remember is that God wants me to show up to church, yes, but he wants me to delight in him. And that is the focus of the Lord's Day. So if you've grown up coming to church and you make it a habit of coming to church, praise God. But make it about your coming to church and your heart delighting in the Lord. Maybe some of you don't have a habit of coming to church regularly, or you didn't grow up that way. Delighting in the Lord helps us in this way. It should be our heart's desire, our utmost desire on Sunday, to come together with God's people to worship him. And that desire to worship him, it draws us together. And so delighting in the Lord as the focus of the Lord's Day helps us to bring us together for the right reason. It also reminds us of this, that our schedule should center on Christ. Our schedule should center on Christ. We often take the view of our culture that says we get to determine what we want to do when we want to do it. I have my calendar, and it is the Lord of my schedule. Our culture says I get to do what I want when I want to do it. So, when did you create the universe? Out of nothing in 6 days by the word of your mouth. I don't think any of us of here have done that. Only God has done that. When did you rise from the dead recently? Okay. I don't think anyone here has done that. But the Lord, creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, the victor over sin and death, he says, delight in me. Gather to worship me on Sunday. He's the one who should determine our schedule, and we should center our schedule around him. The Lord's Day is a call to orient our week around Christ. Your time belongs to Jesus Christ. And the most important way you can show that is by worshiping him on Sunday together with his people. So we should delight in him. That should be the focus of the Lord's Day of Sunday, delighting in Christ. And we should center our whole week around Jesus Christ. What can we do then? What does this look like for a Sunday or an everyday Sunday? What we're talking about is very countercultural, centering our schedule on something besides ourselves, centering our schedule on Jesus Christ. Different people are going to give up different things so that they can worship Christ together. Now, I'm very thankful for those doctors and nurses and police officers and other essential people that work on Sunday. I know some of you are in that boat. And I'm sure you're glad for those of you who have gone to the ER on Sunday that there's doctors and nurses working. Okay? I'm glad that there's police officers to keep the law and order on Sunday. However, different people are going to have to give up different things to focus on Jesus Christ on Sunday. You know, I know some of you are looking for a different job because your job keeps you from church. I know some of you have given up sports because they have kept you from church and worshiping with God's people. I know some of you don't go shopping on Sunday because you want to focus on Jesus Christ. And I know some of you that schedule your vacation so that you will be in church. Each one of us needs to determine what we'll give up so that we can focus on Jesus Christ. But again, the focus is on delighting in the Lord. Maybe this idea of the Lord's Day is a new concept for you. You didn't grow up worshiping God on Sunday. You say, if I was to give up, so to speak, working and shopping and sports to focus on Christ, what would I do? What else would I do on Sunday? First, it would be a good idea to come to church. That's the focus of the Lord's Day. Come to Life Group in the Sunday School Hour. Enjoy the fellowship before and after. I think things start happening around here about 9 o'clock, and sometimes they go all the way to 1. So stay around and enjoy fellowship with God's people. Invite people over to your house from church. Share a meal together. Read good Christian books. Sing together. Enjoy God's creation. And my favorite, take a nap. Take a Sunday afternoon nap. I think it's important. Yes, maybe Sunday will be a day of rest for some, and that's great if you can do that. For the early Christians, it wasn't an option. They had to work 7 days a week, but they set aside Sunday to worship Jesus Christ. So again, it's not what about you, you, what you're giving up. It's about focusing and delighting in the Lord. And let me share a little known fact with you. Saturday comes before Sunday. How does that relate to the discussion? Saturday evening becomes before Sunday. And what you do Saturday evening can affect your Sunday morning. That's something my dad taught me when I was growing up, is that if you get ready for Sunday on Saturday evening, things normally go a little bit better on Sunday morning, especially if you're trying to get kids out of the house. And I know my mom would get 4 kids out of the house by herself on Sunday morning and take them to church because she was ready. She got ready on Saturday evening. And so I think it's important to say that Christ is so important that I want to center my Sunday on Him, and I want to get ready for the most important day of the week. So delight in the Lord. Conclusion. I have 2 calls in conclusion today. First, it's a call for repentance, for not delighting in Christ and His people. Maybe some of you have not been honoring God in how you treat the Lord's Day and how you use your time. Maybe church is just an afterthought for your Sunday. You'll come if you have the time. Maybe you come and you don't delight in worshiping Jesus Christ. It's just a tradition to come to church. God wants your heart. The answer to those is repentance. Turn away from your sin. Confess your sin. Turn from it and form new ways of using your time, of using your Sunday for Jesus Christ. Ask God to give you a delight for Jesus Christ. Ask God to give you a delight to worship Him with His people. A call for repentance. And lastly, a call to prepare for heaven. I'm sure all of you in this room want to go to heaven. Let me ask you, what's heaven like? Are there going to be sermons in heaven? They're going to be very, very long because we'll have lots of time on our hands. I'm not sure if there'll be sermons in heaven, but I know what's happening in heaven right now. There's singing and celebration going on around Jesus Christ. So when we gather together as God's people, we're tasting with the tip of our tongue what heaven's like. But when we get there, we'll get to experience fully worship of God with His people. So heaven is a big group of people worshiping Jesus Christ. That's what we're doing here today. A group of people worshiping Jesus Christ. We are citizens of heaven. What better way to prepare for heaven than to gather together as God's people and worship Him? And that's the call, ultimate call of the Sabbath, the Lord's Day, is get ready for heaven because we'll worship Jesus Christ. So that longing that you have for that vacation, that break from life, wishing that someone would babysit your kids, that break that you want, that you need, that rest that you want, you'll find that in heaven with Jesus Christ. And we look forward to that day when we'll rest with Him. So Sunday, the Lord's Day, is a day to rest in and delight in our Savior. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we've tackled kind of a hard subject in your word, and I pray that you would give us understanding, that you would use this word in our hearts, that we would use our week, we would use our Sunday, we would use every moment for you. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to center our schedule around Jesus Christ, and even more, that we would delight in Him, and that we would rest in Him. And Lord, as we struggle through the busyness, heartache, and hardships of life, that you would set our eyes on the eternal rest that is offered to us in heaven. We look forward to that day with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.